Mr. Patrick. How are you doing today? We're just unloading another load of rocks and turn this radio down. Headed to Spartanburg to go over there and pick up a pair of glasses.
I'm doing good, just out here running around like usual. Hey, let me know if I'm real scratchy.
Maybe 1%, not horrible by any means.
The generator I got on the trailer, it throws out some RF on there and it interferes with the radio. I didn't know how bad it was on your end.
A little bit of popping and crackling, but it's not obligatory, shall we say? Well, in big words. It's in the background, but it sort of sounds like somebody talking that's getting in a bad spot, but not very bad spot, put it that way.
I don't know what I could do about it, and really not going to put a whole lot of effort into it, because hopefully I'll be in my tool truck here soon. I got the other one finally paid for.
Well, Patrick, it's, I wouldn't even have said anything about it. It's that little, so just forget about it. Let them gripe, because it's not bad whatsoever, and I can copy almost full quieting. Doesn't really sound like an ignition system. It's not linear. In other words, it doesn't have a specific rhythm to it.
Okay, like I said, I just wanted to make sure I was copyable, and you could understand what I was saying out here.
That time you went to full quieting, so no problem whatsoever. Well, when you gonna pick that new truck up?
On the financing, the final details of it, and as soon as they get that settled, I'll sign it, and I'll be gone.
Well, I thought a man of your standing in the community just went down there and wrote him a check.
Tom, I didn't get that, and I know it's probably me.
Probably wasn't worth hearing either. I said, a man of your standing in the community, why didn't you just go down there and just write him a check for it?
I'm not going to write a check for it, but I'm writing a check that I don't know if I can cash, that's for sure.
Yeah, but it might bounce up.
Right after he hands me the keys to the truck.
Whoa, this guy acts like he's going to run that stop sign, which I hope not. Made me put on the brakes. Oh, we got our third load of rock. It's river rock. It's 1 to 2 inches. It's pretty good size. And my little trailer has got like tabletop stuff on the bed of it. So it's real easy to just stick a shovel in there and kind of slide her back and let it fall so I don't have to lift anything, or Bernice don't. It worked out great. I think it's gonna look nice. We're trying to stop some erosion out in the backyard beyond the driveway there. It's the old red dirt. And just make it look nicer. And it does. We thought one load, and it wound up being three loads, of course.
And 4 DJ Savings.
Gary.
Hey, Dad. Good afternoon. Sorry. Didn't pay attention where time was. Tom, you can bring a load or two over here too. I need a little bit about 2-inch diameter crusher run, maybe.
That's good for that. It's a Model T Ford truck is the chassis under it, Jerry. And so my neighbor told me. And we've had it many, many years. You can put a tune on it and it don't even flinch. Well, I won't say that. You know what's back there, I'll tell you for darn sure. Because when you come out of Henson's down here on Highway 14, as Patrick can probably tell you, there's one whale of a hill coming up that hill.
I heard something about some keys to a new truck.
I got the old truck paid off yesterday and started the final leg of the process of financing a new one and today, and so waiting on them to send me the paperwork to sign on it.
Jeez.
Well, I think that his first day, he ought to stop by and be 3-2 a day, won't it, Patrick?
With payment. Between on sale and for sale.
We're going to have to work on that attitude of yours, Patrick.
I was out here trying to work on it every day. I bet they do. I bet they do. I can imagine. Oh, man, I tell you what, the good ones are expensive, too, but they last a long time. But a lot of these are on your hands, and the other ones are, too, I think.
Hope you're having a good day, and if it's closer, I'd just come haul that for you. I wouldn't take it on or off. They can put one of them scoops in those big scoop things, them big Caterpillar things, and it'll hold that all right. But it kind of crouches when they put that on there. But we brought it down here from Kansas, and they used to haul castings from Pittsburgh, Kansas to Kansas City, back and forth. They'd go up there and get the casting. Now, they were aluminum, but they'd stack that thing as full as you could get and go back and forth 125 miles when the Hicks brothers first got into business with their heat transfer machines. And Merle always told me, he says, Tom, he said, when you build something, he said, you build it to last 100 years. And I got to tell you, Jerry, he could do that. But I certainly miss him. He passed away in his 80s, but he was a great neighbor. If you could ever have any better, I don't know. I got a good one now, though. So, where are you at? What you doing now, Patrick?
On Wade Hampton out here where St. Mark comes out, and waiting to go into the shop because I know they're not there. It's not 1:30 yet, so they're not back from lunch.
Hey, Patrick, it's not really up in your part of the country, I don't guess, but do you know, is the Caramai dining room, is it still open up in Tryon?
Say that one more time.
There's a place called the Caramai Dining Room up in Tryon, North Carolina. And I was wondering if it's, I think it's still open. I just wondered if that's not really up in your part of this, you know, stripe of Spartanburg. I didn't know if you were familiar with that place or not.
I'm not familiar with that one.
Well, I saw it on TV here a while back, and I think they were, or had already put an outdoor dining thing with it or something, Jerry, but I'm sure that would have been it, because there wouldn't be very many dining places in Tryon.
Yeah, when I get trout fishing, that's really not, it was a good, the food was great, it wasn't cheap, but it was great, it was fresh. The little place there sat right on, over the, right over the stream, and it was originally owned by a guy, time you'll find this, is originally owned by a guy that worked for, he and his wife, I think, worked for one of the railroads, and they call it Caramai because they would, they lived in Miami, and they would travel up to Tryon and run the restaurant during the, I think the summertime, or one of the other, anyway, they go to Miami in the wintertime, but one of them, both of them worked for one of the railroads, and on a passenger service years ago, this was years and years ago, but I think it's changed owners a couple of times, but food up there is really good. That's not that far up there from what I remember. I used to love going to that place.
I believe his name's James that checks into the net at 9 o'clock tonight. He lives up there. He might be the one to ask.
They're still there open. I didn't know whether they had the mask mandate still in North Carolina or not. But anyway, we were in Athens most of the day yesterday, so we got out and did a little stretch of the legs. That's the longest trip I made. Gosh, I don't know when, probably 8 months, I guess, but it was good getting out, even though it was hotter. Hotter than you know what. Tom, go ahead.
Well, I better ID the, with the man on the mountain there, just ID'd. This is N0TR. That's something I never did down here. I doubt if I'm able to now, but is go trout fishing in a stream. I've trout fished in a strip bed up in Kansas. They had one that was 80 foot deep, and they stock it every year with rainbow trout, and I think another breed, but the ones I caught were rainbows. And those are fighting little critters, and it was sure a lot of fun. I'm not fond of eating them, whereas a lot of people's crazy about them. Bernice and I bought them frozen before, and you didn't think much of them, did you, Mom? No. We're more of a channel cat type of person. We don't like a lot of fish flavor or anything like that, but it always looked like a lot of fun out there on those trout streams. My brother-in-law went on one up in Alaska with his nephew, and they flew back in and went trout fishing. They had pictures. Boy, that looked like fun, except for the grizzly bears. Go ahead, Patrick.
If you want to do trout fishing, all you got to do is come up where I live. We got native rainbow and brown and speckled trout right there in the streams and creeks around the house.
It'll be hard for me to do. Wow. Well, whereabouts you live up there, Patrick?
Just outside of Bavard on the Henderson, Transylvania County line.
At some time. But I know back home, the colder it was, the more chances you had of catching them critters out of that strip pit. You know, they'd go out there when the snow was flying. Go ahead, Jerry.
It stuck my interest. Now, you mean you got, I love fishing for brook trout. That's the best eating fish, especially if they're wild. But a lot of people don't like trout. They're a little mushy, but if they're done right, they're good. There's, like that place I was talking about, they actually, they cook the fish, they fry it, they cook it, then they debone it there at the table. Boy, that's this really good. I love, if trout's fresh, I love them. But I am much for the farm raised stuff. They just don't, the flesh is kind of a lot mushier than it is on the wild fish, stream bred fish.
There, Jerry, they grow too fast on the farms, and so they're just mushy to me.
The problem with them, and just never did try them again after that. I don't care much for tuna. I eat it once in a while because it's good for you, but as far as liking it, no, I won't say that I do. But if you put enough sugar on anything, it ain't bad. Go ahead, Jerry.
Patrick, I don't want to even eat a fish unless it's stream bred. Now, I'd go up at the stick and there'd be a bunch of stockers up there and I wouldn't catch them. I'd catch them and turn them loose, but there's a couple of streams up there. I still got some native brook trout up there. They brought them in from, they got one little tiny stream up there. They brought 5 feet across the electric shot. Took all the browns and rainbows out of it. Native streamed brook trout in it from a slick rock wilderness. And man, those fish are 6-inch fish there. I mean, those daggum things, they're just, you know, the biologist told me to eat me, whatever I caught, keep them, eat them, because there's just not enough stream, you know, not enough food in there to feed them. You know, they get smaller if you get, they reproduce too fast. And he said, you know, take anything decent size, take it out and eat it. Man, I tell you what, they had flesh on those things, they're just as red as they can be.
They didn't have back in Kansas was trout, except in that one pit, and I had to drive about 25 miles to get over there. But I just love catching them. My buddy caught one's 4 pounds, and I told him, y'all have that thing mounted. That's a nice rainbow. But he didn't, and then later on he regretted it, of course.
I suggest y'all come up, but I wouldn't do it right now. Too many tourists, let's put it that way. If you come up, you can fish up there every month, but the month of March, they shut it down for that month.
October, Patrick, I don't usually fish. Unless it's during October, the months when I used to go a lot. October, because I can tell what a poison ivy was, and usually it ain't me. I don't run into snakes quite as often as in late October and November. And some of the vegetation's gone back, but the water temperature is just too warm right now. If you catch one, turn it loose, you'll probably die.
Well, Patrick, what would a person from South Carolina have to fish for trout up there? North Carolina fishing license and a trout stamp or something?
check because I haven't bought my fishing license in a while. But you know, you'd have to have your fishing license and the trout stamp. And then depending on where you wanted to fish, there's some other regulations like the Pisgah National Forest. There's only certain areas that are fly fishing. And then there's certain areas where you can only use certain bait. Those kinds of things. I'd have to double check on it because, like I said, it's been a while since I've been because the tourists have ruined it for me where I used to go. So I give up trying to even get in the forest anymore.
Well, the ceiling, they can do that's for sure. Well, we're out here on Highway 29, I guess it is. I call it Wade Hampton, about halfway over to Spartanburg. You know, I think that's the only thing we got to pick up today is my sunglasses. And then, Bernice wanted to go to Aldi's. And so that's our plan of the day for now, Jerry. Go ahead.
Still running around this afternoon, too. The grandkids are coming to overnight, Saturday night. The parents can run, going out of town, going to Charlotte. But Patrick, I used to get a date. You know, I used to get a regular non-resident license, yearly license. I lived right there almost on the North Carolina line. I could go up to South Mountain State Park and bunches of places up there. And here, I don't need to get a North Carolina license since I've been living here because I got plenty to do. Once I go, Patrick will put another tourist won't go. It's too small for them. The fish ain't that big, but they're wild, and you know they can't. I can't go out there and catch 8 or 10 of them. You know, I might catch, you know, 4, 5, 6 fish in the afternoon, but their streams ain't, you know, maybe 3 feet across or something like that. That's the kind of fishing I like, but I can't, if I get down on my hands and knees now, I probably couldn't get back up again.
Dad, I'm right there with you. My knees don't allow me to get up and down too easy. But yeah, you're talking about the water temperature. You don't have to worry about that up there where I'm at. It runs pretty much 55 degrees year round. You'll know you got in it, let's put it that way.
It's cold. Whew. I went down a stream down in Florida one time. It was spring fed, and oh my, I like to froze to death. But the first leg of it was 5 miles, so for a considerable amount of time, put it that way. Oh, that's fine. Go ahead, Jerry.
I start wet wading in March, April, and sometimes some of the small streams are real cold when you get up above about 2,500 feet. And I'd get up in there. If I got above my knees, it'd bring tears to my eyes sometimes.
Yeah, I remember as a kid, that's what we did for entertainment when I was a kid. We went up the forest and went swimming and rode around on the back roads and the dirt roads. We'd just stop and jump off in the creek. But that first landing in the creek, it sure was a wake-up call. But you just went ahead and jumped in and got it over with.
This is Gerald T.R. Wilson. Navy buddies and me, one of my friends' name was Ollie, and he had a 57 Chevy, and we all piled in that in Jacksonville and drove over to. It was near Gainesville because it was near the college. And we went, this guy just passed, and there's a big sign that says, do not pass in this construction zone. And we went into the Itchetney River, and the first leg was 5 miles, and the next leg was 2 miles. And I swear I sat on a log that was hanging up above the creek about halfway through, and I shook all the leaves and limbs off of it.
Even years ago, Patrick down to, had a south tow. This had been back in the late 60s, I guess, before everybody started going up there. Of course, Standing Indian was pretty busy even then, but we go teaming up there, and I'd get out of that thing, and I felt like a popsicle.
HKX Friday. Yeah, you get out of there and you're blue and your teeth are chattering and you're telling, Mom, I'm not cold. I'm not cold. I'm ready to go again.
Remember about that place that we went was there was those little tiny conch shells, literally thousands of them on the floor bed up near where the stream come out. and I never could figure out where those come from because it's fresh water, and it looked like a blue hole, you know, where the water was coming out of it. It looked like heaven itself. It was so pretty. And the guys with scuba tanks on going down in it, but you had to have weight belts or you couldn't get in it because it was coming up so fast. But where those little conch shells, I call them, come from beats the heck out of me.
I'd dump those things in there, but I used to go out to Texas a couple of times a year, and there's a lake there called Canyon Lake, just down below San Antonio, and they'd start trouting that tail race, that dam, the limestone stream below. Man, that's some of the best. Man, you get out, that water was nice and cool, and during the summertime, they stock trout during the wintertime in there. And you had that Guadalupe bass, and they was in the Guadalupe River, it was kind of like a red eye patrick. They're not very big, it might be 12 inches long. Man, we'd go down that thing, and it gets 40, 50 of those little bass. That was a lot of fun, David. I hadn't been in 25 years, I don't guess. It's just kind of an oddity to be in Texas and fishing for trout, though.
Remember about Texas, it's just hot and dry. Ain't much fishing unless you're in the Gulf.
I went down there to San Angelo one time to inspect and set the gates on a dam. We had built the gates for this dam project, and I'd have to agree with you. It was next to New Mexico, which is the armpit of the world, and that was it. And I was literally walking out anywhere for fear of the rattlesnakes. But, Jerry, those shells were coming up out of that hole. But nobody put them there. There was millions of them on the floorbed of that creek forever, it seemed like. And people would even make little necklaces out of them. It was the dangest thing I've ever seen. And I just never could figure where they come from because it wasn't over half, three-quarters of an inch long at the most. Anyways, gotta go, guys. I'm entering into traffic, and I need to be on the safe side. Y'all have a great day. Been a pleasure talking to you both. This is Ben
Jones. Miss Bernice, be careful out there, and I'll keep an ear out for you next time around. Jerry, I'm going to say 7-3s also, because I got customers coming back from lunch finally. So it's been a pleasure talking to you, and y'all be careful. KO4HK, and I'll be clear on your final.
Okay, you guys have a good afternoon. Take it easy. Be careful. Time and Bernice and Patrick, something, a bunch of stuff. Talk to you later. N4DJC, clear.